Would you stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God if your health will allow you? It's always a joy to be with y'all. We love y'all. I hope you know that. And we love your pastor and his family. Brother Jarvis is one, no doubt, one of the best friends I've got. And I thank God for him. Thank God for him. He's a man of integrity, a man with character, Brother Jarvis is. You see so many people, so many preachers going wrong in these days. But I have all the confidence in the world in Brother Robert Jarvis. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll begin reading with verse 10. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," in other words, in the light of that, in the light of the battle we're in, "take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and have it on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, that is over all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." You may be seated. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. I'm preaching with the help of God on a serious subject this evening. I'm preaching on spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. As I lead us in a word of prayer, would you pray in your heart right there where you're sitting and ask God to help us and make this message a blessing to your hearts this evening, please. Please. Our Father, thank you for giving us the health to go to church. Father, so good to go to church. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this church. God in heaven, Father, thank you for Jesus, who makes it all possible. And Father, I thank you, Jesus is head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, thank you, dear God, for our wonderful, wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus. Jesus, sweetest name we know. We remember Simon Peter said unto you, which believe is precious, Jesus, you are so precious, so precious. We love you this evening. Forgive us, though, Jesus. Forgive us for not loving you as much as we should. Oh, God, help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Father, I pray for each member of this church, God meet the spiritual needs of everyone of us. I pray for the sick in this church family. God have mercy upon them. Heal them according to your will. Touch them, God. Even those here this evening have health problems, God touch them. Heal them according to your will. Bless Brother Jarvis, his family. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful family. I thank you for my friends. Oh, God, I thank you for, these, God, our brothers and sisters here in Christ. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the family. God, there's no family like your family. No father like you. I thank you, you really do love us and care for us. Thank you, God. Now, God, give me bread in heaven to feed you people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, please bind the devil, them demons off us now. Off this service, off this church, off your people. Oh, God, keep the devil off us. Please lead us not into temptation these wicked days, but deliver us from evil. Jesus' name, now fill us the power of God. Anoint me to preach. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some battles that you and I may never engage in. I remember back in the 1960s when I had to go to Atlanta, Georgia, along with a host of other young men to have a physical because they was drafting them right and left to the Vietnam War, you know, over in the Middle East. And I remember there was only a handful of us. I think maybe five or six of us that was turned down. Of course, you could guess why I was. It turned me down. I'm smiling because all of a sudden something came to my mind. It wasn't mentally. They turned me down because I'm almost deaf, see. And so I did not fight in that war. However, I remember when I was pushing up in Maryland back years ago, the pastor that I was pushing for took me over to Washington, D.C., and we looked at the different memorials, you know, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, you know, all those massive buildings and monuments and things. And I'll never forget when we came to the Vietnam Memorial. That's the one that got me. When we got there, I broke down, started weeping. And 50,000 names on that wall there. And I knew my name could have been in there. I knew that. And but I tell you, one war we're all, if you're saved, were engaged in. And that's the battle with the devil and the demons of hell. We're in a battle, a war with them. I mean to the end. See, Paul said that thou mightest war a good warfare. And Paul said, endure hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're soldiers, we that are saved, see. And if you really try to live for God, stay on fire, stay in the book, stay right with God, I mean, you know, fully give yourself to God, then you really need what Paul's talking about here, because the devil will hate you, and he'll fight you teeth and toe. And folks, there's no coincidence that we're seeing them fall on the right and on the left in these days. Man, they're falling all around us. And this past Wednesday, the phone rung just before I was to go to prayer meeting. And this pastor called me and said, we're having a business meeting in our church tonight. He's a good friend of mine. I've been preaching for him for years and years and years. He said, Brother Taylor, really pray. He said, pray. He said, I got some people in the church that are against me, you know. And then I heard recently about another preacher that has gotten in the sin, and then another too, by the way. And this other preacher used to take what I thought was a strong stand against sin. And come to find out that he had been running around on his wife, been seeing another woman for 7 years. How you keep it covered up that long, I don't know, you know. And he eventually married that woman, you know. Of course, he's out of the ministry now. The Bible means what it says, what it says, what it does. Be sure your sins will find you out. And, but his daughter got killed in car wreck, here just a few days ago. See, whew, we reap what we sow. What's bad, daddy, mama's, if you and I get in sin sometimes, our children are the ones who suffer the most. God help us to stay right. Oh my. See. And then just last night, I had another dream about another friend of mine who's gotten away from God, got in sin. And that makes 13 dreams and nightmares I've had about that particular preacher. Man. That I'll preach next month. I'll preach again in a church where the pastor there, who was a good friend of mine, ran off with another woman and broke his wife's heart and his children's heart. And I do not believe that most Christians in this day and time are aware of the extent of the battle that we're in. We're in a real battle. Man, I tell you what, God help, I'd like to be able to finish my course with joy, as Paul said. I'd like to end up right, wouldn't you? I really would. I really would. I tell you, God help, I don't want to get in the set. I don't want to do that. I want to live right. I really do. So I hope this will be a help to you and help you to be more alert and be watchful and prayerful. You know, Jesus said, watch and pray. Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, the flesh is weak. That flesh is rotten, see. You can't trust it, see. And that's the reason why you and I need to stay in the book and stay on our knees, stay in church, stay right with God, because if you don't care, the devil will get you, friend. I mean, the Bible means what it says when it says what it does. Simon Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Yes, see, not just defeat, but devour. See, right. I mean, the Bible says he's a murderer from the beginning. Yes, see, and so I want us to notice hurriedly this evening three thoughts in looking at spiritual warfare. We're going to notice the enemy first of all. Then we're going to notice the equipment. And then last of all, the energy for this battle. Notice, first of all, the enemy. The Bible says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's our enemy. Yes, sir. Now, sometimes you better understand who your enemy is by first understanding who he's not. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, sir. Notice we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil loves to get people in a fight, yep. See. Yep. And the devil's right in the middle of church fights, right in the middle of it, see. Yes, and oftentimes, you know, somebody will fall out with somebody else in the church, and some will take this one's part, and some will take that one's part, you know. And yet you'll never hear anybody on the knees saying, oh, God, Father, I pray that you'll drive back the powers of darkness, the power of the devil that's got into our church and it's caused problems, see. And so our battle is not with flesh and blood, see. Our main problem is not somebody in the church or even at the church. It's not one of your family members. The main problem is the unseen powers of darkness. Yes, sir. The devil, the demons of hell, see. Yes. And you've never seen the devil. I haven't either, but he's real. Yes, sir. I know of only one man who said he ever saw a demon. And you and I believe every word you say. We've got that much confidence in him. And that was Dr. Percy Reyes. He said he'd see one. And but anyway, our enemy's real. I mean, the devil is no figment of the imagination. See, the devil is real. See, there was a time, I believe, when he was the angel Lucifer, a beautiful angel. Some believe that Lucifer was in charge of the music in heaven. But he wasn't content to be a created being. He wanted to be God. And you read about that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. In Isaiah 14, he said, I'll be like the Most High God, see. And the Bible tells that God cast him down. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven, see. And so the devil, he's a defeated foe, but he ain't a dead foe, see. Somebody said, well, the devil's on a chain. And somebody else said, well, if he's on a chain, he must be chained to me. See? And but anyway, no, the devil is not bound. There'll come a time when he will be bound in the abyss. Revelation 20 teaches that. And then after that, Revelation 20:10 teaches he'll be cast in a lake of fire. And he'll never bother anybody else again. He'll never tempt anyone. He'll never split another church. He'll never cause another broken home. He'll never cause another preacher to fall. I mean, God's going to put him in hell. And thank God, God's going to put him out of business. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come, thank God. And we that are saved are on the winning side. God can't lose. But we see our enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. We better be strong in the Lord. See, we can't resist the devil in the flesh. We have to be strong in the Lord, see, and in the power of his might. And the only way you and I can be strong in the power of his mind is to be filled with his power. To be filled with the Spirit of God. It's in the same epistle, just the chapter before this in Ephesians 5:18, that Paul said, be not drunk with wine, when it says, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Yes, that means to be consumed, possessed, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And I guess, other than getting saved, I guess one of the greatest, if not the greatest experience, that a child of God can have is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. See, it's nothing like it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I don't know about you, but I'm of all men most miserable when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. See, I can't stand to be without the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. See, that's the only way you and I can really live right, is to be filled with the Spirit. See, because the arm of the flesh, the Bible teaches, will fail you. See. And so the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at that word wiles there. In verse 11, that means strategy. See, that's one of the things that bothers me right there. The devil sets up a strategy to try to make you fall and try to make me fall.
Yes, sir.
See, some of these preachers, you know, I'm talking about men. Now, man, I'm not talking about them. I love them. See, my, it hurts when some of your own friends get in. See, and it hurts. See, it hurts. See, and, but it didn't happen overnight, folks. It never does. The devil just, he plans. He sets up a strategy. See, I can just almost see the devil getting together with some of his demons and say, now, you try this on that person. And then if you can get a foothold there, then you try this. And I can just almost say that,
sir,
you know,
sir.
in my mind's eye, see. But that's the way the devil works. That's the way it works. He sets up a strategy to try to make you and I fall down the road. Now, he don't care if it takes 10 years, 20 years, just as long as they make us fall.
Right.
See. That's the reason why you have to be careful, because if you give an inch to the devil, I guarantee you, he'll take a mile.
Yes, sir.
He'll take a mile, see. That's the reason why you and I have to nip sin in the bud.
See,
I like sports. I enjoy it. I like football, baseball, basketball, car racing. I like sports and all that. But if I turn that television set on and watch, like, the World Series will be coming up pretty soon now. I like stuff like that. And I like to watch the Atlanta Falcons beat the Panthers, and I think they played one other today, but I don't know. I didn't have time to look at it. I didn't have time. And, but anyway, but I'm not, by the grace of God, going to be watching that stuff on there that might give the devil a chance to get me. See, I mean, I repeat what Simon Peter said. I think repetition's good. Be sober, be vigilant, because you have to serve the devil. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
See, that's the truth. See? And, you know, I understand that B.B. Caldwell, I don't know him. I never heard him preach. I never met him. Did anybody know B.B. Caldwell? I understand he was a great preacher. And I heard a great preacher say that he probably knew more about the devil than any preacher alive in his day. And this is what B.B. Caldwell said. They told me that B.B. said before he died that God had showed him that there would be an all-out attack of the devil on preachers in the last days. Well, God must have showed it to him, because it sure has happened. It sure has. It sure has. See. So I encourage you, man, pray for your pastor every day. Pray for him. He's a good man, see.
Yes.
But the devil hates him just like he does the rest of us, see.
Yes,
and the devil's no respecter of persons.
Right.
But he is no respecter of persons. He's mean. He don't know anything about mercy. He just as soon calls one Christian to fall as another.
Yes, sir.
See, it's mean.
Yep.
the wiles of the devil. See, Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. Folks, we better not be. We better not be ignorant of his devices. See? So we see who our enemy is. When the Bible says in verse 12, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's talking about ranks of demons. Yes, sir. See, there's one devil, but there's a whole bunch of demons on him. Right. See, in the Bible, you'll find where it'll say devil, singular, and usually it's from the Greek word diabolos. But when it says devils, has an S on it, plural, usually it's from the Greek word daimonion. Demons. They are under the devil. And some of them, and the ranks of them, just like their ranks among the angels. So you got the archangels, you got cherubim, seraphim, the angels in general. See, there's angels in this room right now. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Because the Bible says that God encampeth his angels around about them that fear him to deliver them. See? See? But I tell you what else could be here, and God forbid, I plead the blood of Jesus. Could be a demon in here, friend. I ain't talking about a human being. I'm talking about a spirit. See? But anyway, coming back where we were. See, that's what it is oftentimes when you go to read the Bible and something suggests to you that you do 40 different things other than read your Bible. That's the devil, friend. You go to get on your knees to pray and all of a sudden, just like that, oh, I got to mow the grass. There ain't nothing wrong with mowing the grass. But when it comes time to pray, that's a whole lot more important than mowing the grass.
Yes, sir.
See, I'd rather have grass growing out there than grass growing in here.
Yeah.
See. So then we notice, next of all, the equipment. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. It says take the whole armor. You can't afford to leave one piece off anywhere. You know, Goliath had armor on. David went out there to face Goliath with that slingshot and five smooth stones. Goliath had a great big sword and armor bearer. He had all that armor on, but he left one place exposed. And David sunk that stone right into his forehead and killed him. If you and I leave one place exposed, the devil may get us, see. We got to be careful. So notice he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. Notice the phrase evil day. Over the years, I've studied this and studied it, and I'm convinced that the evil day is not talking about these last days. All those, these are certainly evil days. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. In that context there, I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that what that means, evil day, that's a time when you come under attack of the devil. And I don't think you'll find a better example of what that's talking about than Job. Everything was going Job's way. Everything he touched turned to gold. All of his children were healthy and well and alive, all 10 of them. Mr. Job was doing fine. He was doing fine. He's a very, very successful man, and God said he's the greatest man in the East. And then next thing you know, bam, the bottom fell out of him. The devil attacked him. That's what you call the evil day. See, there may come a time in your lifetime when everything's just going your way. See, then next thing you know, God may let the devil hit you. Let the devil attack you, see. And oftentimes what happens when the devil attacks is we go under instead of overcoming. See. So the equipment. He said in verse 14, he begins to name the equipment. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is one of Paul's prison epistles, the book of Ephesians. He wrote it while he was in prison in Rome, and they would often chain the victim to soldiers. And those Roman soldiers, they had a tremendous, you know, armor. And no doubt Paul looked at his helmet, his breastplate, and looked at his sword and his shield and all of that, and his combat boots, and compared that to the armor that you and I have to wear spiritually, see. So Paul said, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Here's the truth. This King James Bible is the Word of God. Here's the truth right here, see. And notice the word girt there. What it was is the Roman girdle was it was a wide leather belt that went around the waist. And it helped hold the rest of the armor in place. And it even had the sheath attached to it, which the sword went into. The soldier's weapon, see. Well, boy, you get the message. It's that book there that holds things together. It's that book that you build a church on. See, that's right. And we Baptists have always adhered to what? That the final authority for faith and practice is the Word of God. The Roman Catholic Church believes the church has the last word. We believe this book does. And that's right. That's right. See, this is the final authority for faith and practice. In other words, if somebody comes to you and says, what about, can I do this or that or that? What does the Bible say? See, can we do this in the church? What does the Bible say? See, I've had people to come to me and ask me to marry them, and I wouldn't do it. See, because I had Bible grounds to say no. See, I mean, by the grace of God, I'm going to try to do what that Bible says if people do fall out with me, see. I had some of my kin folks came to me one time, and this woman, she wanted me to marry her and her husband, her and this man. He was a Roman Catholic. She's a Baptist. Well, what do you think I did? I said, I can't do it. Do I have any scripture for that? I sure do. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If a couple comes to me and wants me to marry them, one's saved, one's lost. Ain't no way in the world I can do that. If I do, I'm sinning against God. Because the Bible says be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's an unequal yoke when a believer marries an unbeliever. And the Bible says, I shall not plow with an ox and an ass together. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's an unequal yoke. And you watch it. Most of the time when a believer marries an unbeliever, you know what happens? They have problems. They don't have anything in common. One's a child of God, the other's a child of Satan. They don't have a thing in common. I've seen some good Christians begin to go down the hill when they married an unbeliever. I've seen that happen again and again and again. Now sometimes God will come through in His mercy and grace and save the unbelieving mate, and they'll be able to make it. But most of the time it don't. Most of the time it don't work. It don't work. It's against God. It's against this book. This is the final authority for faith and practice. Right here. What this book says. What this book says. Okay, then I heard. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate that covered the chest cavity. It protected the vital organs in the chest, see, the heart, the lungs, so forth and so on. And notice it's a breastplate of righteousness. Paul looked at the breastplate on that Roman soldier, and he said, that reminds me of the spiritual breastplate that we have to wear, and that's the righteousness of God. Yeah. See, there's something better than getting right with God. That's staying right with God. See, righteousness. See, our God's a righteous God. And the Bible says, can two walk together except to be agreed? We can't walk with God if we have unrighteousness in our life, see? And this is talking about positional righteousness. It's talking about progressive righteousness as we grow and mature. Righteousness. Then I heard. And then it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul looked over there and seen those combat shoes on that soldier. And it wasn't the common sandal like our Lord and his disciples wore and even Paul wore. No, these were combat boots. They had hobnails in the bottom, studs. That would keep them from, see, slipping when it's fighting. See, if that soldier, if he was fighting, you know, and his feet slipped, then the enemy could take him out just like that. See, it's vital important that you and I in this battle don't lose our footing. See, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand. That implies what? That you've already got ground to stand on. Then God's saying, don't lose it, don't lose it. Right. See, one of the key words in the book of Ephesians is the word rich. It's found 6 times in the first 3 chapters of the 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. It's talking about spiritual wealth. See, for an example, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, Paul said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. That's talking about spiritual wealth. Yes. Under the old economy, under the law in the Old Testament, one of the signs of God's, one of the evidence of God's blessing upon his people was houses and lands and vineyards and fatted calves and sheep and so forth and so on. But in studying the Bible, after studying the Bible now for about 45 years, a little over, I noticed that the wealth, the riches that the Christian has is more spiritual than material. Yes, so really, if we have any material blessings and God's been good to all us, yeah, we have a house to live in, we got clothes to wear, yeah, shoes on our feet, food on the table, cars to drive, and so forth and so on. But really, that's not where the emphasis is at in this dispensation of grace. It's upon the spiritual. See? See, you and I can have all these things, material possessions, and still not have joy and peace and love and happiness. See? So he said here in the Word of God, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. But now that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the peace that the gospel produces when you believe it. See? So you stop and think about it. If it's one thing the devil wants to do is get me and you agitated, get us fretful and fearful, full of anxiety, because he's already won the battle if he can do that. And we've been there before. God help. I've seen times when the devil would get me so full of anxiety. Yeah. See, it's a whole lot easier to whip the opponent if the opponent is all agitated and upset. And the devil knows that. Yes, he knows that. You watch it. You get up on Sunday morning and there'll be things happen won't happen any other time during the week. That's the devil. He's trying to get you and I out of gear. He's trying to get you and I all frustrated before we ever get to church so we can't worship God. See. I heard about this couple that had a falling out over a tube of toothpaste. This man and his wife. One of them wanted to squeeze it, the other wanted to roll it up from the end. See. What does it matter? It don't matter whether you squeeze or roll up, you're still going to have to brush to get them clean. That's the devil for you. Yes, sir. Like this couple, they was a fighting when they got to church, you know, then they put on the Sunday smile. See? And then when the church service was over and they got in the car, then they said, now where did we leave off? Go back to fight. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Shield of faith. This was not an oval shield, which was also common in Paul's day and time when he wrote this. No, this was an oblong shield, shaped like something like one of them doors. Not that big, of course. It's about 2.5 feet wide and about 4.5 feet tall. Now, even a man like me, a little over 6 foot tall, could get down behind a shield that's 4.5 feet tall and hide.
See.
See, nothing will protect you and I. Nothing will keep us going and keep us right when the devil is really after us, like faith, the shield of faith. See, that's what the devil's after anyway. He's after your faith, my faith. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have thee, and you may sift thee as wheat, but I prayed for thee that what? Your Sunday school attendance fell not. That ain't what he said. Your church attendance? No. Your Bible reading? No. Your praying? No. I pray for thee that thy faith fell not. Because if the devil can get your faith and my faith, he'll get your Sunday school attendance. He'll get your church attendance. He'll get you out of the Bible. He'll get you off your knees. See? See, the devil, when the devil attacked Job, he attacked his faith. He tried to shake his faith in God. But you know what Job said? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust. That's faith. Will I trust in him? Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Whew, that's faith. See, we get under attack of the devil and we go through a very difficult time. If we're not careful, we'll turn bitter. Get angry with God. That's right. I believe we have people who come to church that are mad with God. I do. They're mad with God. No wonder they can't sing. No wonder they don't have a song in the heart. They don't go together. See. But anyway, coming back, oh boy. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of wicked. Notice what the devil uses. Fire darts.
Yes, sir.
Not a sword. Jesus has a sword.
Yep.
Read Revelation 6, the Antichrist, the devil's so-called Superman. He has what? A bow. That's what you shoot arrows with, a bow. These fire darts are arrows. That's what they are. And they take them things and dip them in tow, a petroleum type substance, and set the thing on fire. That's the reason why the Bible says quench the fire darts. It set the thing on fire and shoot them at the opponent. That's what the devil does to me and you. You ever been in a worship service and man, you're enjoying the Lord, everything's going good, and all of a sudden, bam! The worst thought would come in your mind. The worst attitude towards somebody else in the church would come to your mind. You know what that is? That's a fire dart.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
Fire dart. That's what the devil does. Fire dart. One of the ones that the devil shoots at Christians in these days is the fire dart called doubt. I don't know how many times there's been a Christian sitting there in the service and enjoying the Lord, and all of a sudden the devil shoot that fire dart at him, say, oh, you ain't saved.
Right.
This woman in church, I used to be in Concord Baptist Church in North Georgia, Miss Frances Goff, she's in heaven now, her and her husband, Brother Hubert, both, they were good people, good Christians. And this preacher was up preaching, he made the statement. He said, God's done show me somebody in his loss. The devil said, it's you, Francis. She went through the office time after that. Man, I'm telling you, awful, awful. But she finally got the assurance of her salvation back. Years and years ago, my wife went through that. She went for around 20 years without ever doubting the salvation. And all of a sudden, bam! Fire dart hit her just like that from the devil. She went through about a year of torment. Preacher after preacher prayed with her and preacher's wives and everybody else. Devil kept saying, you're lost. You're lost. But she finally got the assurance of her salvation. Fire dart. Notice the Bible talks about quenching it. Well, if I were to strike a match here right now, you could quench it by sticking it in that water. Notice it didn't say anything about breaking it. It says quenching it. Put that fire out. See, that shield was overlaid with leather. And they would soak that thing in water before they'd ever go to the battlefield. Then when that fire dart hit that shield, they'd go, poof, it put that fire out. The shield of faith. Well, still water is the type of the Word of God. So you saturate your faith with the Word of God. Then when the fire dart hits, it's quenched. It's put out. See? See, that's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. It's spoke. See, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Read the Bible daily. Read it. Memorize a bunch of it. Hide it in your heart. Then when the devil draws the bow, shoots one of them fire darts of doubt, fear, or something else, hatred, bitterness, envy, jealousy, you name it, pride, then that shield quench it. Put it out. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we don't stand the book still on these, woe be unto us when the devil does attack us. What you going to do? How would you like to go to Afghanistan tomorrow? Iraq or Iran or somewhere another unprepared? I believe that's the reason why the devil gets a lot of us. It's because we're not prepared when he does attack. That I need to hurry. Another thing about this shield. Being shaped, you know, like a door. These shields actually in that day and time was made where they are interlocked together. If the battle got fierce enough, they just lock them shields together and form a wall between them and the enemy. You get the message. United we stand, divided we fall.
Right. Yes, sir.
Jesus said, a house divided can't stand. Let's lock our shields together. Don't get on the phone and talk about somebody in this church. Even if they haven't got problems, you don't need to be talking about it. You need to be praying about it.
Right.
See, lock your shields together. See, be hard for the devil to stop a church when they're united.
Right.
And they love God and love one another and pray for one another. Instead of talking about one another. Shield. Then that shield being shaped, you know, being oblong like that, then sometimes when a soldier fell on the battlefield, then they used that like a stretcher. They put that man on that shield, one on this end, one on this end, and carried him off the battlefield. You get the message. Woo! That shield's called faith now. This faith not only good enough to live by, it's good to die by. Woo! Hallelujah. Let me hurry up and get on. Then the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. See, the breastplate protected the heart. The helmet protected the mind. That's the two of the areas that the devil really attacks me and you is our thoughts and our emotions, our feelings.
Yes, sir.
The devil will get on your back and say, well, if you say you wouldn't feel like that.
Yep.
See? Then next thing you know, you're going around saying, I don't feel saved. Yeah, but what does the book say?
Right.
See? Thank God for good feelings. I sure do like them. I don't like bad feelings. But if I don't have another feeling, this book says I'm saved. It says I'm saved. This is the most sure word of prophecy. One of the most inaccurate things about any of us is our feelings that change with the wind.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes change several times in one day's time.
Yep.
Let me hurry and get on. Then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is our weapon. Not 357 magnums or 44 magnums. No. Tech nines or machine guns. This is our weapon.
Right.
Don't misunderstand me. Them guns are always good for some things.
Yeah.
See. That's right. You got a gun in your house, somebody starts to break in, if I understand my Bible, you can use it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's right. You said the Bible says, I shall not kill. You better go do your homework. That means murder.
Right.
It's not wrong to kill at war.
Right.
It's not wrong to kill in self-defense.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something else too. Capital punishment is not wrong.
Right. Amen.
I like what one preacher said. This news reporter was interviewing him. He's nationally known. And said, do you believe in the electric chair? He said, no. She said, oh, I see there's one thing you and I have in common then. He said, no, I don't believe in electric chair. I believe in an electric couch. Get them three at the time.
Yes, sir.
What does the Bible say? Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed.
Right.
See, I'm tired. I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of seeing these criminals out here killing little old babies and raping people one thing or another. I tell you what, if I'm wrong, y'all pray for me. What they ought to do is they ought to go get a rope and start hanging some of these devils once again, and they'll put a stop to some of that mess.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, you better be careful what you say about what I just said, because I remember a store owner who argued with me one time about capital punishment. Boy, he thought I was, you know, some kind of a beast, I guess, because I believed in capital punishment. But the next time I seen him, he believed in it. Why? Because of the man come out there with a sawed-off barrel shotgun and knocked him in the head and went on down the road and killed some more people. So you say, I don't believe in capital punishment. You believe in it when somebody kills one of your loved ones. You believe in it then. See? All right. Take the helmet of salvation. Protects our thoughts. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what we fight with. By the way, how do we use it? Well, we don't use it by putting it on the mantle. Coffee table in the car seat. No, we hide a bunch of this in our heart. And then when the devil attacks you, for example, the devil tries to put fear in your heart, then you quote that scripture. That's what Jesus did.
Right. Exactly.
Matthew 4. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, he quoted scripture. He quoted, there were three temptations, and he quoted three times, all of them from the book of Deuteronomy. Three verses, and there's thousands of them. That's our ammunition, hallelujah. That's our weapon.
Yes, sir.
Jesus just quoted three verses, and it put the devil on the rock. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And I believe that Jesus is our example. I believe the way to do it, the way to take the sword of the Spirit is just like this. That's what I do, and I get relief. I get help. A devil or demon, rather, be attacking you sometime. None of us is important enough, I'm sure, for the devil himself to attack. But a demon will be attacking you, and you can sense it. If you're close enough to God, you can. And what I do is I just say, devil, I don't see you, but I recognize you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command you to get to him, and I quote the scripture matches what he's bothering with me with, and sometimes immediately I get relief. I believe that's the way you're supposed to use it.
Yep.
I believe that. Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
And last of all, the energy, and I'm through. I'm not going to say but just a word or two. Verse 18. We've talked about the enemy in this warfare, the equipment for this war. Now look at the energy to be able to fight this war. We've got to have energy to bear these weapons. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching down too with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. Praying always. Paul said, pray without ceasing. That don't mean you pray 24 hours a day. It means you never give up the habit of prayer. See? And then notice it says pray in the spirit. Praying in the flesh won't help. Praying in the power of spirit. You know what? There's an anointing to pray as well as an anointing to preach. Yeah. I love to pray when the power of God comes down. When God anoints us to pray. Jude said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ain't nothing like it. Get down and get to praying, and the Spirit of God come on you. Then you forget about your watch.
Yep.
You don't endure it. You enjoy it when the power of God comes on you. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to pray, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, who hears and answers prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Spiritual warfare. Win a battle. Win a battle. There's no discharge in this war. It's either winning or lose it, folks. That's right. Either you and I are going to win it or lose it, one or other. Would you stand your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, musicians are come. Some of you may want to come down here and talk to the Lord about some of the battles you're in right now. They can get fierce. Father, oh God, thanks for wonderful, wonderful liberty in the service this evening. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I thank you. To each one makes up this church family. God, thank you for them. I thank you. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Welcome Baptist Church. Thank you for Brother Jarvis and his family. Please, God, keep your hand on this church. Continue to bless this church. Father, in Jesus' name, put a hedge about this church. And please keep the devil from coming through that hedge. God, don't let him get in this church. Please, God, please keep the devil off us, God. Please, God, help us stay right with God. Let's put on the whole arm of God now. So we stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, if there's one here lost, God, save that soul right now. Father, help them see if they're not saved, then the devil's already, in some sense, got them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.